can to you and disperse it out. Brother Craig said he was worried about Brother Gary on the computer with all the scripture I had. But you got it, hadn't you, Brother Gary? That motherly instinct in Brother Craig looking out for his helpers. Hallelujah. Learning your enemy. Now, if I was to throw out a statement, it would be true, I suppose. But if I said, who is your enemy? 99.9-tenths of us would say, who? The devil. We've been taught that, and that's good. He is our enemy. He's not our friend. But I hope through these scriptures tonight to show you that there's an enemy that's more deadly than the devil. I hope that you'll follow with me. In the book of Exodus, chapter 14, verse 26 through 31, we begin. The word of God says, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. The Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus said the Lord, saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Now, if you've got your Bible open there, you can mark that place or something. I may come back to it in a minute. But 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Tell me if you've got it. And I want to read to you tonight verses 1 through 6 and verse number 8. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat that same spiritual meal and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things are our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Now, I'm going to skip down to, I don't think I gave this to Brother Gary, but I'm going to skip down to verse number 10 and read one final verse. Neither murmur ye. Somebody say that with me. Neither murmur me. Ye. Some of them also murmured. Now what that verse tells you, what happened to the murmurers. Look at it. They were what? They were destroyed of the destroyer. The implication is, in my mind, if they had not been murmuring, the destroyer could not have attacked them and been successful. There's a detrimental thing in grumbling and complaining. I'm not messing around. It will slip up on you before you can say Jack Sprat. And when you find yourself complaining about little things, you'll be complaining about larger things somewhere down the road. Murmuring is a spirit. You have been around people in your life that never had anything pleasant to say. It was always negative. I don't like to be around those people if I can help it. I want to help them, but it'll drain you. It'll take the energy out of you. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, finally, my brethren, what things soever, and he gives a list of things that you want to think on. Then the psalmist said, he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon him, upon God. Psalms 34 said, I sought the Lord and he heard me, delivered me from all my fears. So I want to talk to you tonight on learning your enemy. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that you give me help as I present the scriptures to this audience. Let the seed fall where it needs to be planted the most. Let there come forth fruit unto righteousness, that you would be honored and glorified and blessed as we worship you. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I did not give this to the upstairs brothers, but in Luke chapter number 10, and I want to read to you a couple of verses of scripture. Verse number 40. I'm going to read verse 30. I just kill myself doing this. I'm going to read verse 38. It came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. That's good. Amen. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, doest thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed or needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Tonight, we get into the scripture and try to move along as best we can. If you stood on the banks of the Red Sea that day with Moses and Israel and looked back behind you at the Red Sea, you would have seen a wall of water on each side and a path in the middle. You would have seen Pharaoh and 600 chariots coming as fast as they could because their objective is to overtake the Hebrews. You would have watched as they drew near. But then you would have seen something that would have been blood-curdling. The walls of water collapsed, and Pharaoh and his army, his 600 chariots and horsemen, were drowned in the Red Sea. Standing on the other side of the Red Sea was the Hebrews. They're elated, they're delighted, because the enemy that had been hounding them is gone. They're not worried about the future. They're delighted because the enemy has been dispelled. I mean, they're happy because Pharaoh is dead and his chariot men are dead. Miriam grabs a tamarind and other ladies also, but it names Miriam. And they start singing and they start exuberant noises, happy. They're rejoicing because they last saw Pharaoh drown. They had the peace of mind and the contentment in their heart that they're never, ever going to have to mess with Pharaoh again. He's been their taskmaster for a long time. He's been cruel, treated them wrong, and they cried out to God for deliverance. And God slapped Pharaoh in the face and the Egyptians in the face 10 times with plagues. Finally, the blood plague came, and Pharaoh could not handle that one. He could handle all the rest of them, but when the blood came and applied to the doorpost, Pharaoh said to them, get out. See, the devil can handle a lot of things. He can handle our structures and all that, but he cannot handle it when the blood comes. So the devil, Pharaoh, implied that, you know, we're going to get. So he said to the Egyptians, get to the Hebrews, get out. Now he changes his mind during that night, and he said, we've lost our labor force. So what we've got to do is overtake them. The devil may turn loose of you, but he's going to come back after you if he can. He's going to try to trace you down and get a hold of you. But they're standing there and they've got the consolation in their mind. Our battle with Pharaoh is over. And they sing and they're happy. And you would think as they looked ahead that they'd be the happiest people on the face of God's earth. You would think that they would look back in their mind and say, we had a horrible yesterday. We had a horrible past. But it's okay now because Pharaoh is dead. And they just shout a little bit and rejoice. But what happens, ladies and gentlemen, 3 days, somebody say three. 3 days later, the same people that were dancing on the shores of the Red Sea are ready to kill Moses. They forget about Pharaoh. They forget all about all things. They look ahead and the reason why they're like they are is because they've been 3 days without water. Where is all your faith at, you Hebrews? Where is all your optimism at? You stood there and watched the Red Sea open and you marched across on dry ground. You watched the Red Sea swallow Pharaoh up. You danced your dances and sang your songs and played your tambourines. You were so full of vigor and so full of vitality. You were so happy then. What happened to you 3 days later? Now you're complaining. Now you're murmuring. Now you're unhappy. Now you're dissatisfied. It vacillates. The pendulum swings from I'm so happy to I'm so sad. I'm so filled to I'm so empty. I'm so happy, I'm so victorious. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Just a while ago, where's all your joy at now? I look at people in revivals. I look at people in excitement. I think the worst thing that can happen to a church is human excitement. Human excitement lasts just a little while. Divine impartation lasts on and on and on. We don't need human excitement. I'd rather see excited people than to see gloomy people. But if I'm dependent upon God for my source and my strength, I must not rely upon excitement because things can change in a heartbeat of a time. Where's your joy now, Hebrews? Y'all had a big thing 3 days ago, but now you don't have any water. They're complaining. And guess what they're doing? They forget Pharaoh. They forget the Egyptians, they forget everything. We would rather go back. I'm always dubious about these converts that get started and 3 or 4 days later, they've gone through some bump in the road. I'm not being mean, I'm just being honest. They hit some bump in the road and they're ready to throw their hands up and say, well, I can't take it. Get some grit in you. Get some confidence in you. Get some courage in you. You're not going to have it easy all the time. You're going to leave. You're going to cross that Red Sea. Jesus Christ spoiled the devil on Calvary. He looked back and you know he decapitated him. He took the weapons from him. I don't care what you're going through. It's always under the power and the control of Jesus Christ. They murmured, ready to kill Moses. Rather than in one baraboshaka, in one trial. In one severe, I don't know how severe, but in one trial, they're ready to throw it, put it in reverse and turn around and go back to slavery. Go back to bondage. There's no looking back. There's no turning back. We started this race to run it for God. Amen. You can make it. You don't have to wilt down. You don't have to wither. You don't have to slow back. You can run. Be steadfast. Unmovable. Always, always, somebody say always, abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. There's a payday someday. It may be tomorrow, it may be next week, it may be the gate may open and bring you out of bondage, but there is a payday. You keep on serving God. You keep on picking them up and putting them down. Keep on going to church. Keep on being faithful to God. Quit grumbling, complaining, quit whining and dining. Just get in the program of God and march with your shoulders back. Hold your head up. Be a soldier of Jesus Christ. Don't be a wimp in the battlefield. I'm in God's army. I'm not in the church of God's army. I'm in God's army. He gave me my marching orders. He didn't give me no protection from my back. He gave me a shield of faith. He gave me a helmet of salvation. Girded about my loins with a girdle. He gave me everything to face the enemy. He gave me nothing to run from the enemy. That's not in our vocabulary. We don't have time to do that. We don't have permission to stand fast. Don't put back on that yoke of bondage. Be who you are when the sun's shining and when the clouds are hanging low. You got an image to have. You've got a responsibility. Why art thou disquieted, O my soul, is what the psalmist said. He's bleeding through something. Look, am I talking to? We cannot win our loved ones by our moods. We win our loved ones by steadfastness. And the harder the battle gets, the greater the victory is going to be. You hear me? Hallelujah. So ask these people, these Hebrews, what's the matter? One little, you don't have no water, so now you're ready to throw your hands up. I don't have a job. I don't have a retirement. I don't have this. I don't. Quit talking about what you don't have. Talking about it won't get it for you. Talk about what you do have. I got Jesus. My God. I got Jesus. And that's enough. They sing a song around here. That's enough. That's enough for me. Don't talk about what you don't have. I don't have. I can't do this. That Bible's got a lot of characters in it that just talk. I don't speak well and I don't need it. Whatever. Quit it. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Hallelujah to God. So they're ready to stone Moses, the man that had enough faith to open the Red Sea. They're ready to do him in. Finally, they find water, and it's bitter water. That's a pill to swallow. You remember? Can't drink it. It looks good. I'm going to tell you, we sentence ourselves to prison, to mental prisons by our conversation. Amen? Let your speech be seasoned with salt. The devil is not a mind reader, he's a mood reader. That's good. You don't have to be brilliant. I don't have to be brilliant to read some people's mood. You feel it before you see them. You don't have to ask what kind of day are you having because it just emanates. The devil is not a mind reader. He's a mood reader. He checks you out. What kind of mood are you in today? Is this a Blue Monday mood or whatever? Let it be a blessed Monday, a tremendous Tuesday, a wonderful Wednesday. On and on it goes. I drew a blank. They're talking about killing Moses. Can I just say something? Sometimes the congregations get the killing the pastor mood. Woo! He's 77 years old. I think it's time to let him go. Some of you 77 year old, you better help me out here. Hallelujah! When they start talking that, I got a song that I always sing. I shall not be. It's worked so far. They wanted to kill him. Because they didn't have water to drink. If the God that they followed across the Red Sea is the God that they're going to serve, don't worry about water. He knows where the next pond is. In fact, there's a rock that's fallen. Isn't that what it says? There's a rock, and that rock is Jesus. Hallelujah to God. And that's why, you know, this morning I got so many things I wanted to say, but Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha, Martha is a scuttlebutt. Martha is to be admired as a housekeeper. Jesus don't slam her. He don't put her down. He just said there's something better than. How many know you can live with, oh God help me. How many know you can live another day with dust on your floor? How many know you make another meal with dishes in the sink? If Jesus come to your house, leave the dishes alone. Leave the mop alone. Oh, Jesus is coming. I got to get it clean. He'd rather have your attention than have your mop. Hello? There's some people that cannot enjoy Jesus because they come to church. They got the Martha syndrome. They sit there fidgety. They just... That air conditioner is just too cold for me. I just can't stand it. That PA system, if they'd ever get it regulated, leave it alone. See, they get indignant. I don't think this thing will ever end. Why didn't you stay home? I'm saying, if you're gonna be a joy killer, hello? Mary said, I know I need to be helping in the housework, but Jesus is here. I might not get another chance like this for another month. I've got to take it. That's why when we come to church, if Jesus shows up in the power of the Holy Ghost, let's get our mind on him. If he walks down your pew, let him find you just worshiping. They march out of the Red Sea, and they got no water, and they're crying, they're complaining. They're worried about this, that, and other. They forgot their trouble earlier. The enemy was gone. They're happy. It's amazing how quickly our demeanor can change. It's amazing. Am I talking to you? They were dismayed now. They were discouraged now. But they found out in that wilderness, listen to me, they found out that they had an enemy that's bigger than the devil, more ferocious than the devil, more dangerous than the devil, and that enemy is self. I'm not scared of the devil. I don't say that with any arrogance. I'm scared of me. Paul said, here's what I do. I beat my body, keep it under subjection, keep it under control, lest after I preach to others, I become a castaway. The one that you, oh, the devil made me do it. The devil don't make you do nothing. I'm in debt over my head. I can't. The devil's signature is not on one of your credit cards. Whether he said Lucifer or whatever, it's not. Your flesh allowed you to overload yourself. And you better get a hold of your flesh to get out from under the load. Am I talking to anybody? 3 days, they found out that there's a discontentment. What are we going to do? We don't got no water. What are we going to do? And that spreads. I mean, in Acts chapter 28, chapter 27, there's a storm, Paul, and all they needed was a calm voice. They didn't need a miracle. And Paul stepped out and said, sirs, take something to eat. It's bad, but the angel of the Lord, of whose I am and whom I serve, stood by me this night and said, not one shall perish. All we need sometime and is a calming voice. It's all going to be okay. I like Brother Kenny when he sings that song, I've Got a Feeling, because it's true. It's going to work out all right. Whatever you're facing right now, if you hold on to Jesus, it's going to come. It's going to pass. It's going to get better. Am I talking to you? Amen? See, we're no different now than the Egyptians were, the Hebrews were. life is a challenge and it's a conflict, and Satan is challenged by the blood, and he turns them loose. Now, there are people who travel this highway of holiness for a little while, and when trouble comes, they give up. You'll meet them downtown, and you say, you used to go to church, you know, and they're, well, what happened? What, you know? And they got all kinds of reasons, and legitimate to them. But the devil didn't make them. He may have given them the opportunity to drop out, but he didn't make them do it. You make those decisions yourself. If the devil could have kept me from getting saved, he would have done it. Just like if he could have kept you from getting saved, you would not be saved tonight. But when God put his mighty hand in your heart and began to squeeze you, the devil knew he had a lost battle right then. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Am I talking to you? So you got to realize the problem. Satan works. He inflicts wounds on us, disease on us, and all that. That's you know, we understand that. But the real you is that inside you. The real you is that mindset. That you know, that's you're a spirit that has a body that has a soul that lives in a body, and we need to understand that. Amen. So we can't blame the majority of people on our problems, and they grumbled, they didn't have any water, and then they go a little while longer and they don't have any bread. Oh, we grumbled about water and we got water. How did they get water? The water, that was a tree. Not just a tree, a certain tree. How does the waters of your soul get sweetened? There was a tree 2,000 years ago that was cut down and made into a cross and buried. And Jesus Christ was nailed to that tree. And he said, you look upon that tree and you shall be saved. Hallelujah to God. So they grumble about water. They come to Myra. They get bitter water. They've cut the tree down. The water's sweet. Oh, glory to God. We're back home again. Moses, you're a fine fellow. They go just a little while longer. And they guess what? We don't even have any bread out here. And God says, okay, let me, don't you believe sometimes that God just gets tired of hearing people? I don't know, I shouldn't say, I don't know, that would put me saying I know all about God. But I think from our perspective, I think that sometimes God does get a little bit weary with us complaining, and, you know, he never says complain decently. He says, make a joyful noise unto you. Enter his case with thank you. Oh, hallelujah. And so, what are we going to do about bread? And God, Moses is a God. Two or three times Moses quit even calling them his people. He called them God's people. They're your people. And God turned the card around and said, your people. It's a big deal when God renounces people. Say, I don't know them. They're not my, they don't even act like my children. Hello? And God said, here's what we're going to do. You go out tomorrow morning, there's going to be bread on the ground. And so now we got people going out tomorrow morning. Some of them followed the instructions, some of them didn't, and you know how to go. Worms come. See, worms are always near disobedience. Hello? Don't pick up on the sixth day. Don't pick up, but, you know, on the sixth day, pick two bundles of, so you can have it for the seventh day. And they said, well, let me get an extra bundle here. They get it, and boy, that'd be horrible. You wouldn't even want any manner after that, probably. So they ate bread. They complained again. They kept 10 times. They had 10 plagues in Egypt. Now they got 10 grumbling episodes. Do you remember reading all those? And God said, it is enough. You've disobeyed in everything I told you to do. Now here's what's going to happen. 38 years now, they've been in the wilderness, they've been out of Egypt 2 years at this point here. And God said, here's what's going to happen. None of you are going to go into the land of promise that were in the adults when we come out of Egypt. You've talked yourself in, come on church, you've talked yourself into a graveyard in the wilderness. Isn't it a shame when you sit near people that have been in church all their life and they're still just going around in circles? Hello? They're just, they don't have any initiative. They don't have any thrust. They're just, and so here are the people. You follow them. How many funerals you have today? I had 850 funerals today. How many funerals you got tomorrow? I don't know how many, but they're dropping dead. The Bible says not one feeble, not one among them. Do you remember? Their clothes didn't wax old. Their shoes, their feet grew and their shoes grew. That'd be good. Hallelujah. And they're just marching along and they're dying until it comes to the point where how many more of you are left that was on the other side of the Red Sea as an adult? They're all gone. Oh, there's two, Joshua and Caleb. Why were they singled out? Because they had a different spirit. In every congregation, you got the Joshua and Calebs. They're not going to get tied down with all the mess. They're not going to get, you know. Hello, church. They all died. And they crossed over the Jordan to go into Canaan. Am I talking to you? So we see they discovered in the wilderness that it was more challenging, and they found out who they were. That's why trials come. That's why tribulations come, because God wants me to know who I am. He wants you to know who you are in the Lord. Amen? They grumbled every 10 times they grumbled. And God does not take, here again, grumbling is a spirit. I said that. I mean, people come in, they never have it. None of you here are like that, so we can really beat the drum. But they come in and they sit down, and you know from get-go they're not going to add anything to the service. They critique everybody. Oh, I see, got a different hairdo. She's going to find out what she wants. I mean, that stuff goes on. We're trying to worship God. We're not concerned about what kind of hairdo you got. We're not concerned about do you wear green with red and all that. That's not our issue. We're in the house of God. We're here to worship God. We're not here to examine you. You're not that important. You might stand out like a sore thumb, but we don't take time up to that. We love you, and if you get in the auto, we're going to work with you, and we're going to try to get your mind on Jesus and let it stay on Jesus so you can beat the devil up tomorrow. Your enemy is not the devil. Your enemy is not the church. Your enemy is not the pastor, not your neighbor. Your enemy is you. You've let the devil hoodwink you. You've let life, you've become your own enemy. Why don't you rise up and master yourself? Take control of your life and let the ship be sailing through the waters of life. Be victorious. Be overcoming. We need some pioneer spirit. I mean, look, I'm not trying to carry us back any time, but please understand. I can promise you, and let me say this qualified. I can promise you that, you know, this year I'm not going to finish that out. I will probably be looking in my rearview mirror in a few more months. Snow Branch Camp Meeting will not hang around many more years. Because I don't put no bow on my shoulder, but it's the interest in it is gone. It's gone. The logic is, why do we have to sit out here and feed the mosquitoes when they got a nice sanctuary over there? It wouldn't be camp meeting. It would just be church meeting. We're walking under a building that is, if you could record the sounds, the preaching, the worship, the singing, if you could bundle it together, it would carry you to heaven. Some of the greatest services I've ever been in my life. I've been 40 years involved with that camp meeting. 36 here. And then when I was a child, growing up, two or three years. It's camp meeting. People get delivered. I mean, one of the greatest camp meetings I was ever, you've heard me mention, G.J. Chandler. He couldn't preach worth a flip. Just well, be honest. I don't remember anything he preached. But I have never seen a human being gifted like he was in getting people through the Holy Ghost. He was like a bulldog. He'd go up there and, the tabernacle would be full, and Brother Chandler would walk up beside one of them, and two or three of them, he had to reach up. He'd get that arm around their neck. He said, "What do you need, my brother?" They were scared to say, "Well, nothing. I need the baptism." You just well figure if he put his arm around your neck, you can get the baptism. Because, it was just awesome. We need things. We don't need to just give in. Am I talking to you? See, Mary and Martha, Jesus said, "Here's the deal, Martha. You're fretting around. You're worried about." See, we got people, the flags need to be in front. The flags need to be in back. We got people, the light's over here dim. What would happen if we all got in one accord? What would happen if we all just plugged in together and said, we're going to start fighting the devil from the get-go? Did you hear the choir tonight? That's awesome. Have I conveyed anything to you? They died in the wilderness. What a shame. What a shame. Coming to worship service should be a joy, not a tragedy, but grumblers will kill your joy. That phone rings. Pastor, I got a little issue I'd like to talk to you about. That makes my day. I was wondering if you could do something about it. Why is it people, there's some things you could do something about. There's something, if you saw somebody uptown wearing shorts, don't wait and call me. Go across that street and get them by the hair of the head and say, "What are you doing up here like that?" Jolt them. And then call me up and say, "I did it for you, Pastor." You got a responsibility. Mark them. Amen. Am I talking to you? See, the reason why people do brazen things is because they know that nobody's going to care about it. We do care about it. I'm working on a thought, life without an H. Sibboleth and shibboleth. Anybody? Now, how can we tell these people, they're all Hebrews, how can we tell them apart? How can we, they've got the same, demeanor and everything. How can we get them to say Sibboleth? Somebody? So the judge is sitting here on the back. He said, "All right, Levi, say Sibboleth." And if they could pronounce it, come on in, you're good. And they couldn't pronounce it, you're a pretender. Why did it? Because they left the H out. They couldn't pronounce the A. They get choked on the H. You don't know where I'm coming from. They get, it gets in their crawl. You know what H stands for? Holiness. Holiness. The preacher went to the church. They said it would be a true illustration. Went to the church and preached three times, trial basis, and preached the same sermon, all three. It's identical, same text, same everything. And the men come to him and said, it's a wonderful sermon. Said, "But we've heard about holiness for three weeks now." And I said, "Don't you have anything else?" He said, "Oh, yeah, I'll preach something different." So the next 3 weeks, he preached on hell. They come to him and said, "You preached 3 weeks on holiness, 3 weeks on hell. What's the deal?" He said, "It's either holiness or hell. You can't get it any simpler than that, can you?" Dear Jesus. Amen. There's an enemy, and it's in your skin that you have to control. You have to keep Keep the negativity out of your mouth. Talk positive. Your destiny, and I know this sounds cheap, but it's real. Your words form your destiny. By your words you shall be justified. By your words you shall be condemned. Amen. Would you stand with us? Brother ushers, would you come, you that have helped us